Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles, and tonight is Tuesday night, newcomers class, and we are still discussing fasting. On last week, we talked about some instances where there were some occasions that people were fasting in the scripture. On tonight, we're going to continue in that vein, but we're going to look at some other instances where, you know, some nations call for a fast, and some different individuals that we didn't talk about on last week. And then we will get into what Messiah says about it, and we will cover the fast that he really wants for us. okay, so that when we think about a fast, that we understand the fast that he has called for. So let me open your mics. Shalom. Happy Tuesday, my sister. Sister Denise, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
How are we doing this evening?
Great.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith and pray in. And as people join, then I will open up their mics. Let's see, our statement of faith. Well, what have you two been up to today?
Well,
nothing much.
Nothing much for both of you?
No. Well, I took my sister to her doctor's appointment.
Oh, amen. And what about you, Sister Denise?
I work today.
All right, amen.
I work.
Did you
I work.
That reminds me, the Most High didn't give me any other word for you concerning that situation. So about you quitting?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you going ahead and doing what you had planned to do should be good to go.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. So they Amen. Said December the 6th. So that'll be my last. This is my last week Friday.
Amen. And are you going to continue to care for the one gentleman?
Yes.
All right, amen. Amen. Now, is he going to pay you, or is the family going to pay you for that, or what? Are you doing that?
No, I'm...
Because you want to have something to
just
do.
Just doing it. No, just doing right, it because he don't have anybody else to do it, and company I'm with, they don't have enough employees because there's a lot of employees quitting also, and say they don't have anybody to come and take care of him. So I'm just going to do it.
All right, amen. Amen. That's a good labor of love.
That's the kind of person Sister Denise is. She's a sweet person.
Amen. I mean,
well,
you know, it's a good labor of love. He got nobody else, and if you leave him, then he will go without care. And so it's an honorable thing to do. It's an honorable and a good thing to do. So, amen.
She's a sweet person
right.
Like that.
I know. Just don't be doing what you were saying last week. Don't be doing him. And you'll be all right.
Okay.
Like, good grief. All right. I shouldn't have said that on air. Good grief. All right. So let's go ahead and do our statement of faith, and we'll pray in. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Yeah, thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We thank you, Hallelujah.
Yeah.
For allowing us to serve you, Father. For first loving us, Father, before we ever loved you.
Yeah.
For your gift of salvation, Father, and for redeeming us. For selecting us as your children, Father. Hallelujah. We just want to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise on today, Father. You are indeed our Elohim, our God. And Father, we will not worship another. So we just want to thank you on this evening. From the bottom of our head, from the bottom of our head, from the top of our head, to the bottom of our feet, Father, we glorify you, we lift you up, and we magnify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you. Holy hands raised. Let me have the sisters to cover your heads. Any brothers listening, uncover your heads. And let me welcome people in Blog Talk and Pal Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We want to welcome our new listeners from South Korea. They've been tuning in the last couple of weeks and in Japan. So it looks like the Far East is, the word is spreading in the Far East. So we thank those new listeners, and we pray that you are being edified in the word of the Most High. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim as we turn toward the East. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. The book of Leviticus, chapter 16. And let us get verse 29. Leviticus, chapter 16, and verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be of one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we are still on fasting. And on last week, we talked about some occasions in the scriptures where, you know, they found the occasion to fast. And so we talked about the Day of Atonement, which we're going to talk about again tonight. We talked about Saul fasting. We talked about David fasting for the child that between him and Bathsheba. We talked about Nehemiah fasting for his family and for all of Israel. We talked about Job fasting for his children. We talked about Haman fasting when, not Haman, but... who was that? It was Mordecai fasting because of what Haman wanted to do to Israel, wanted to have them killed. And then we talked about King fasting for Daniel when he threw him into the lion's den. And then we talked about that we fast so that we will know the will of Yah. Okay, those are some of the examples that we found and we talked about last week. And there's a number of other instances of nations and individuals fasting in the scriptures that we want to look at tonight, and then we want to talk about the fast that the Most High himself commands. Okay? Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. The book of Exodus, chapter 34. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Make sure we're all in the same day.
Amen.
All right, amen.
Amen.
We're beginning verses 27. Amen. And shalom, Sister Rachel.
Shalom.
All right. Exodus chapter 34, and we're going to get verses 27 through 28. Exodus chapter 34, verses 27 and 28. And Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Most High 40 days and 40 nights, and he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables of the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. So Moses really fasted for 40 days and 40 nights of bread and water. He did that more than one time. I think in the scriptures, I think we can find it at least three times. I know of two for sure. And both of those times, actually three. The first time he went up, the Most High called him up there to, you know, get the Ten Commandments. And then when he came down, he broke it. He went back up another 40 days after that to get them again. And then Israel sinned, and he went up back up on the mountain another 40 days. So he did a 40-day fast three times in the scriptures. In this one, he's going to, you know, to get the word from the Most High. And, you know, when we need to get a word from the Most High, when we want to know his will in our life, that's a time also to fast. But just remember, whatever, however long the fast is that you are telling the Most High you're going to do, remember you have to do that many days, however many you said. If you said one, do one. If you said seven, you got to do all seven. And if you break it, if you don't keep it, then he counts it as not being done at all. And so you can't say, well, I did four, I broke it today, and I'll come back and I'll finish and do the other three. No, you have to start over from the very beginning if you break a fast to him or a vow to him. Let's go to the Judges, chapter 20. The book of Judges. So with Moses, from, you know, when Israel first came into the promised land and the Most High came down and gave his commandments, he did a 40-day fast up on the mountain with the Most High. Book of Judges, and we're going to be getting verses 20, we're going to get chapter 20, and when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, amen, thank you. And we're going to be getting verses 25 through 28. Judges chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Geba the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel, again, 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of Elohim and wept and sat before Yah and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Yah. And the children of Israel inquired of Yah for the Ark of the Covenant of Elohim was there in those days. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And Yah said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. Now, in this instance, why they are coming to war against Benjamin, there was a priest that had a concubine, and this is actually illegal within itself, and he went to this city in Benjamin, and one of the cities that Benjamin owned, and the men more or less called this woman out and screwed her to death, and he got upset, and he cut the woman up into 11 or 12 pieces. And he sent her pieces to each of the tribes of Israel and said, look and see what Benjamin has done. And so they came to do war against Benjamin. And Benjamin was tough because they could not beat him. And so they come and they come to Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, and they ask him, you know, to inquire of the Most High. They did a fast, and they asked him to inquire of the Most High. Should they continue to go to battle with Benjamin? Because they were really getting their butts whipped. And the Most High says, yes, go up. For tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. Okay, so they are fasting this time because they want to know the will of the Most High, and should they continue to go to battle against their brother, their brother Benjamin. And the Most High says yes. You know, he's got a punishment coming. But all the way up until this time, they hadn't fasted. They hadn't, you know, they came because this priest called them. And the Most High, you know, once they went before the Most High then and inquired of his will, then he says, yeah, then, you know, tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. But before that, they were going just because the priest asked them, you know, saying, hey, look and see what they did, basically to my woman. But you know that it's illegal. That's what I love about Judges. I think when we go, I think it's the last book in Judges. Hold on a second. Let me look at this and make sure. Because this is common in Israel, and this is common during our history. Yeah, go to Judges chapter 21. Because this is something that we're going to go to Judges chapter 21, and we're going to get verse 25. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what?
Which was right in his own eyes.
That which was right in his own eyes. No standard. Everybody got, you know, think differently. Everybody doing their own thing, more or less. And this is one of the commandments that Israel was commanded not to do. Let not, I think it's Exodus chapter 12. Let me look it up real quick. I think that's where that's at. It's 12. Exodus 12. Let me search this. This world was Exodus 12. Actually, it's Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. So let's go there real quick. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12. Then we're going to get verse 8. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you shall not
amen.
Do after all these things. Amen, my sister. And you shall not do after all these things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. See, this is what Israel had a habit of doing, and this is what people do today. Mm-hmm. If they're not under sound doctrine, and even a lot of times if they are, everybody's still got their own opinion. They got their own understanding. And then they want to do things the way they want to do it rather than the way that the Most High says to do it. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. When we lack leadership and we don't want to submit to authority, then this is exactly what we will do. And so in Israel, during the Judges, there was no king. And so the Most High, Israel will basically be on their own. And then when they were on their own and they would mess up, they would get, you know, sent into slavery. And then the Most High would send a judge to deliver them. And when they were delivered, they'd be all right for a generation. And then the next generation, they would be back to doing that which was right in their own eyes. Not following any standard. Every man doing whatever they feel is right. And so I know that we have that going on today. Because, you know, I talked to a bunch of people and everybody got their own understanding about what's in the scriptures. And if that's what's going on, then if we got five people and they all five got their own understanding in the scriptures, then we got five people doing what they want to do. If it's 100, then typically 96 out of that 100 are going to be doing whatever they want to do. And so this is one of the mindsets that we have to get out of. Because the Most High tells us exactly what he wants. He tells us how he wants it. And we have to do what he says to do. And not everybody do, you know, what's right in their own eyes. One of the things that I am 99% positive that the Most High don't accept. He don't accept us worshiping him the way that we want to worship him.
Amen.
He don't accept that. You know, you got people doing what they want to do and coming before him with all kind of stuff and serving him all kind of different ways when he has said, don't add to or take away from.
Amen.
So he gives us the classic example with Nadab and Abihu, liberal worship. Nadab meaning liberal and Abihu meaning worship. And they burnt incense at the wrong time. Before the Most High, that's all they did. They burnt the incense at the wrong time when it wasn't called for. And he burnt them up. But the lesson behind it, he says, I will be sanctified in front of Israel. But the lesson is, by their names, he burnt up liberal worship. That means you don't worship him liberally. You don't make up what you want to do with him. He tells you how to worship him. And then that's what he expects out of you. And if you do anything else other than that, he says it's strange. That don't look right to me. And he don't accept it. So he doesn't accept every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. And so we have to understand that. Even when we're fasting, we got to do it the way that he says to do it. All right, let's move on. So we had Israel, all of the 11 tribes coming against Benjamin. Benjamin is kicking their butt. They can't seem to get up on Benjamin. And when they go to inquire of the Most High, should we go up again against Benjamin? And he says, yes. Tomorrow I will deliver Benjamin into your hand. So they fasted for that, you know, for that, to get that answer. Let's go to Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter 3. The book of Jonah. Chapter 3. And if you're looking for, it's after Obadiah. And we'll get verses 1 through 10. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. All right, and when you have it, if you'll say amen. So I know we're all there.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sister Rachel, are you there yet?
I'm still trying to find it.
Okay. Go ahead. We'll wait on you. Yeah, if you're looking in your book,
mm-hmm.
it will come after Jonah. I mean, it will come after Obadiah.
Sure do. I got it. Thank you.
All right, amen. Not one of the books we go to a whole lot. Jonah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And the word of Yah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Most High, according to the word of Yah. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, now what this is saying is that Nineveh was a big city. And it actually took 3 days to cross it. That's a big city in those days. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So the prophet of the Most High is coming to this city, and Nineveh is a Canaanite city. It's not a Hebrew city. And Jonah is going, and he's proclaiming that this city is going to be overthrown. Okay, and the people, they repent. Because he's saying in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh for by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto Elohim. Yet let them turn everyone from his evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if Elohim will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? Now, these people knew the Most High. And they are crying out to him. And Elohim saw their work, that they turned from their evil way. And Elohim repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. So these people sincerely, they heard the voice of the prophet. They believed him, and then they acted on what they heard. They put on sackcloth. They put ashes on their head. And even from the king on down, the king decreed, hey, nobody eat, not man nor beast. The whole country going into what? On a fast. Man and animal. And the Most High saw it, and he did what?
Repent.
He repented. He turned from doing what? Evil to them. Mm-hmm. And causing evil to come upon them. And so, this is what he's always been looking for out of Israel. And when we are walking, you know, if the Most High sends us a word and tells us to turn from our wicked ways, then we got to have this same mentality. We got to believe and act upon it. And if it's a national emergency, this is the reason why most of Israel is not coming back. Number one, most of Israel don't even know who they are. Number two, because they don't know who they are, we can't even do this, like, you know, even for, I don't want to even say it that way. Even those that are awake and say that they are Israel, has anyone ever heard of anybody saying, all of awake Israel, come and let's do a fast to the Most High?
No.
Individual camps, maybe. Individual churches, but Israel as a whole?
No.
And this is what we need for deliverance.
Yeah.
Because as long as we are segmented, separated, all of us doing our own things, every man doing what's right in his own eyes, then we can't come together like Nineveh. And all of us go on a fast for the nation. And so we are still too separated. But they caused the Most High to change what he's going to do. And he says, you know, if you repent, then I will repent of what I will do to you. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. The book of Daniel chapter 9. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. Let's let everybody get there.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we all there? Daniel
yep.
chapter 9,
Amen.
Verses 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first year of Darius, the son of Asarius, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of Yah came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto Yah Elohim to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yah my Elohim and made my confession and said, O Yah, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. See, Daniel knew this last part, because, see, people will, as I said, people will talk about the statutes, laws, and commandments. But Daniel said, we have departed from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Daniel knew that whatever judgments the Most High had already given out, that's what was supposed to be. That's what was supposed to be done. And he says, we have rebelled by departing from them. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So he said he came to know the number of years, that there would be, that it would be, Jerusalem would be desolate. That he would accomplish the desolation of Jerusalem. Let's continue to read. So he's saying he's fasting because he says we have sinned, we have not listened to you, we didn't keep your judgments and your precepts. Verse 6, neither have we listened to the servants of prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to the people of the land. O Yah, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against thee. O Yah, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To Yah, our Elohim, belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yah, our Elohim, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yet all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Elohim, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done, for under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done unto upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet may we not our prayer before Yah, our Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore has Yah washed upon the evil and brought it upon us. For Yah, our Elohim, is righteous in all his works which he does, for we obey not his voice. And now, O Yah, our Elohim, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Yah, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem. Now, this is why he's fasting, that Yah will turn away his what? Anger. And his fury from away from Jerusalem. Thy holy mountain, because of our sins, and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our Elohim, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for Yah's sake, for your sake. O my Elohim, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolation. This is why I said this word desolation in the scriptures means to be barren, means to be, like a desert. But a lot of times what he's talking about is that when he's saying desolate, it either means that he's not there or we are not there. So when he says the land is desolate, a lot of times people, and there's not going to be anybody living there. When you look in the history, there's, who's missing from the land is us. Either somebody, the Most High sent somebody in to drive us out or to conquer us because of our disobedience, or the Most High himself left the land. So typically this word desolation, you look it up in this, you look up the definition, and you might think that, a lot of people interpret it that, the land itself is going to be barren, and there's not going to be any plants there, no life, and all this kind of stuff, because that's what that word typically means. But when when the Most High uses it, he's talking about it being desolate of us. We're not there. We're absent in the land, or it's desolate of him. He has left the land. Daniel 19:18. O my Elohim, incline thy ear and hear and open thine eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Yah, hear. O Yah, forgive. O Yah, hearken, listen, and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my Elohim, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before Yah, my Elohim, for the holy mountain of my Elohim, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So he's praying for the interpretation of the 70 weeks. He's praying for the Most High to save Jerusalem and Israel because the people have sinned. And he said he read it from the books that he determined that it was going to be 70 weeks from the prophet Jeremiah. And he's looking for confirmation of that as well. And so in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, this 70 weeks is 70 years, and then these 70 weeks are split up. So he's giving him, he's laying out this prophecy for him. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to build Jerusalem until Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the great and the street shall be built again, and the wall even the troublous time, even in troublous times. And after 60 and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people and the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So he's praying for the understanding. He had determined that it's going to be 70 years until the desolation of Jerusalem. But now the angel comes and gives him the fullness of this prophecy. And he tells him about Messiah. And that Messiah would be cut off in midweek after 62 or 63 weeks. And so there's going to be another 7 weeks that are left. Let's see, what was it? Three score. Yeah, 62 weeks, 62 weeks. So Daniel is praying, number one, that the will of the Most High, that he comes and saves Israel for his own sake, not because of our sake, but for his own sake, for his land's sake. Because see, Israel, the land, belongs to the Most High. Even we, his people, he tells us that we sojourn in that land. Abraham was a sojourner in the land. He says we, when we are in the land, we are sojourners in the land. As long as we do good, we can live in the land. As soon as we mess up, we get kicked out of the land. So the land has never belonged to the people. It's always belonged to the Most High. Is sanctified to him. So he wants a land, a holy land, to be filled with a holy people. And so Zion means both the land and the people. And who the Most High marries is, he's married to the land. He's married actually to New Jerusalem, the city. And that city has to be filled with who? Holy people. So let's go to Revelations. A little bit off on a slight tangent here, but let's go to Revelations. And I believe it's Revelations 18. I believe it's 18. Hold on just a second. I hate to have a lot of dead air time. To Mentor. New Testament. Okay, we'll just go to Revelation chapter 20 first, and we'll come back to this. I have to find that verse. It gives us the analogy that the New Jerusalem is wearing the saints like a dress. And I'll find that. But let's go to Revelation chapter 20. We'll start there. 21, my bad. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. And let's get started in verse 9. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come here, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Elohim, having the glory of Elohim, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper and a clear crystal, and had a great wall, high wall, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Now, he said, let me show you his wife, and who did he show him?
New Jerusalem.
The New Jerusalem. And it talks about the New Jerusalem like a female, even in other scriptures. It says the New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Okay. The mother of all the righteous saints. Maybe I need to do an actual precept on that. Now I want to get this other verse. Where it says, I could have swore that was in 18. Let's see if I can find it like this. Maybe it's closed. I thought it was closed. All right, for time's sake, I'm going to define this. Yeah. Let's go over, it's in Revelations 19. So let's go to Revelations 19. We're going to start in verse 1. When you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right. Revelation 19, starting in verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto Yah, our Elohim. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his saints at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped Elohim that sat on the throne, saying, Amen and Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you saints, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for Yah Elohim omnipotent or almighty reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Now, see, people be thinking that they're married to Messiah right away, but they are not. It's talking right here that this is, now is the what? Marriage of the Lamb. And to his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clothed and clean and white. For the fine linen is the what?
Righteousness of the saints.
And so this is what, now who is his wife?
I guess the righteousness of the saints.
You read it before. He said, let me show you the Lamb's
New
wife.
New Jerusalem,
who did he show
my
him?
Man. I'm...
Right, he showed him Jerusalem, right? The
right,
New Jerusalem.
I'm sorry.
No worries. But she's granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the linen, fine linen is the righteousness of the saints.
Righteousness of the saints. Okay,
this is what the New Jerusalem is clothed in.
I got it.
So everybody that says... Everybody that goes into the New Jerusalem has to be what? Righteous.
Amen.
You can't, he says, no, there's going to be no sinner in that's able to enter into the New Jerusalem. And so everybody that enters into the New Jerusalem has to be righteous. They have to be able to put on white clean linen. But the New Jerusalem is clothed in the saints. And he says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of Elohim. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yeshua. Worship Elohim, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. So again, he's telling that this, they call him an angel up top that he's talking to, but who he's really talking to is one of his fellow servants of the prophets. It says that in 21. So it's the same, this is a man, even though it calls him an angel. This is what we have to understand, that angels, unless the angel identifies himself as one of those heavenly angels, then anytime it says angel, it doesn't always mean a spirit being, even though John is in the spirit. But who he's talking to and dealing with is an actual man, an angel, a messenger. So we have it here. We have it in 21 that he tells, the same angel tells him, I'm of thy fellow servants, thy brethren. Anybody think John himself was an angelic being? Nowhere will we find that in the scripture. But John was a messenger. Okay, so Messiah is going to marry the New Jerusalem. And part of that being that the saints that are in New Jerusalem are up under that same relationship, but it tells us that the New Jerusalem is wearing the saints like a garment. And the whiteness of that garment is the saints' what? Righteousness. So it's got, the city is being filled by people that have no what? That have no unrighteousness in them. But it doesn't say that the church is the Lamb's wife, does it?
No.
Does it say that Israel is the Lamb's wife?
No.
Okay. I'm just going to go by what the book says. Because even Messiah said when Israel was in, when the servants were invited to the wedding, they rejected it. Said, then I got something else to do. We have never been the bride. Once the Most High divorced us, we never became the bride again. So I need a permanent thing. So we were the guest at the wedding. And that's what we just read. Excuse me. Let's get this again.
Hello?
Verse 9. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, do you call the bride to her own wedding?
No.
Do you call the bride to her own supper?
No.
Okay. Let's go to just a second, let me get this. Let's go to Matthew's chapter 22. The book of Matthew's chapter 22, and then we'll get back on subject. Now, when you have it, if you say amen, the book of Matthew, chapter 22, we'll start in verse 1.
Amen.
All right. And I want us to make sure that we hear what, because remember Messiah said, they asked Messiah, why do you speak to them in parables? And what did he say? Why does he speak to them in parables?
Because it's not for them to know the secrets of the kingdom.
Right, so that they could hear, but they would hear it, but they wouldn't what? Understand.
Understand.
And he did that intentionally. So a lot of people read these parables, and they still don't what?
Understand.
Okay. And Yeshua answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again, now he sent forth his servants to invite them to the wedding. Again, he sent forth his servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. And let's look at this word bidden, because this is the word it's using here. So let's get Strong's indexer for bidden. H559, Amar, to say, use, great, latitude, answered, appointed, avouch, bid, boast, call, certify, challenge, charge, command, commune, consider, declare, demand, desire, determine. And let's see. To call. So he called them to the wedding. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Now, again, this is not the bride. These are the guests. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them, what, spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, he was angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers. Now, if these people are the bride, who did the Most High just get mad at and sent his armies to kill? You think he sent his armies to kill the bride?
Yeah.
And we got awful quiet.
Oh, I'm on mute. Yeah.
So what do you say, my sister?
No, I don't think. Okay, I don't even forget the question.
Yeah, the people, it says, and the remnant took his servants, because he sent out his servants to invite everybody to the marriage supper.
Right.
So let's read this again, starting in verse 2. The kingdom of God is likened unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden, called, so you don't say called twice, them that were invited to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, which are invited. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant, the remainder, took his servants. Now that there, you got some that went there, they went their own way. They went to their farm and they went where? To their merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them, killed them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden, which were invited, were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, and bid to the marriage. Tell them, come to the marriage. Now, again, if this is the bride, then he's saying he went into the highways, told them to go into the highways and find as many as you shall find to bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with who?
Yes.
The wedding wasn't furnished with the bride, was it?
No.
No.
So all these people that are bidden to the wedding, they are what?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because see, a lot of people miss this. Who was he inviting to the wedding? Who were the servants who were the remnant that killed his servants?
Israel.
Israel was being invited to the wedding, and Israel was not the bride. Israel was the guest at the wedding. But they wouldn't come. So he says, oh, he sent out his servants to find both good and bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. Now, he's simply saying this man is, he's not saying that this man is not in his wedding gown. He's supposed to have been dressed for the wedding. You don't just come to a wedding dressed any kind of way. He says, this is a guest. You're not dressed properly. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment? How'd you get in here? What are you doing here without a wedding garment? and he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So there's another parable, the same parable, and it gives a little bit different view of it. But do we understand that the people invited to the wedding are the guests at the wedding? You don't invite your bride to her own wedding. And the wedding garment, everybody coming to the wedding has to be righteous. And even though he invited good and bad, there's going to be some bad people at that wedding that are going to get called out. And thrown straight in the lake. Because they're not going to have the proper garment on. They're not going to have that garment that is white and clean.
Fine,
which
living.
Is the righteousness of the saints.
Amen.
And so we have to hear this because, you know, the church has made themselves the bride. And Israel has come back and said, no, we're the bride. But the scriptures tell us exactly who the bride is. And all those that are in relationship with the bride have to be in that right relationship with the Most High. Okay, let's go back to our fasting. So we looked at Daniel, and Daniel was praying for the Most High to come and for Israel and Jerusalem's sake, not the people, because the people were in what? Sin. But for Israel and Jerusalem, Israel the land and Jerusalem the city. Good grief. All right. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. The book of Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to get verse 26. And we need to, I really need to teach this one day so that we understand the significance of Hagar and Sarah and how they are in the natural, what they represent in the spiritual. So Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. And when you have it, you say
amen.
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 All right. Amen. Amen. We're all there. Amen. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. This is the new Jerusalem. Which is who?
Mother of us all.
So we're supposed to be born of the free woman. Yeah, we'll do this. We'll do Galatians one day. So we understand the relationship that the Most High, how he has defined that relationship, okay? If the new Jerusalem is the mother of us all and the new Jerusalem is the wife, the bride, then when it says, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, how can we be the children and the bride? We can't be
Amen.
Both. Okay, so the Most High always talks about us as being his what, children. But then people, because of the nature of the relationship, the intimacy of the relationship, people want to be they also want to be what? The bride. But we are either the children. We're either one or the other. But the scripture tells us that we are the children and the New Jerusalem is the bride. And the New Jerusalem is our what? Mother. All right. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. The book of Luke chapter 2. And we're going to get verses 21 through 28. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, this goes back to the law, that all male children are supposed to be circumcised on the 8th day. His name was called Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification for a male child, she was supposed to be purified for 4 weeks. I got to go look in the law now. I think for the male child, she had to be purified for 4 weeks and then another certain amount of days after that. And for a girl child, it was double that. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to Yah. As it is written in the law of Yah, every male that opens a womb shall be called holy to Yah, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Yah, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. So Mary is following the law, and Joseph what to the degree, to the end. Let's see here. This is New Testament. Let's go get this. Chapter 15. Maybe it's 12. All right. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 1. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right, Leviticus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, if a woman have conceived seed and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of her separation. For her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in her blood of her purifying 33 days. So 33 days, total of 40 days. Okay, so she's unclean for 7 days if she have a male child. And then in the 8th day, the male child is supposed to be circumcised. And then she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days, she shall not touch no hallow thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, double the time, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. So a total of 80 days for a girl, she is unclean. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before Yah to make an atonement for her. She shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law of her that has had born a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtle doves and two young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. All right, so this is what we just read Mary just did. She had a male child. She was unclean 7 days. On the eighth day, Messiah had to be circumcised. So on the eighth day, they brought him to be circumcised. And then she finished out the days of her purification. And when those days were done, because he was a male child, then she had to wait another 33 days until she stopped bleeding. And then she could come in, because when a woman is in this condition, in verse 4 it says, she shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary. So Mary couldn't come into the sanctuary. She couldn't do any of that stuff. All right, so we see where it says she's doing according to the law as it was given to Moses. That's why I kept saying that. So we go back and verify. She's doing everything according to the law. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Is that where we were at? Verses 21 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. So I just want to take us back into the law, because as we're reading the covenant, a lot of these things didn't pass away. Okay, so they are still in the new covenant, and some of the things were changed. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, so Mary has had Messiah 8 days prior to this. His name called Yeshua, which was so named of the angel. Verse 21, for he was conceived in the womb. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification, that's another 33 days, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to Yah. As it is written in the law of Yah, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy of Yah, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law. So she couldn't afford the lambs. As I said, if she couldn't afford a lamb, then she could bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So it says this is what she brought. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen Yah's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Yeshua, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed Elohim and said, Yah, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the people of all, for the face of all the people, a light to the Gentiles, and glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for a fall and a rise again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against it. Yea, a word shall pierce through thy soul, thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 80, so that's 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served Elohim with fastings and prayers night and day. So here we have a widow who is She's a widow indeed. She was a prophetess, but she was old, and she had been a widow for 84 years. Didn't say when she got married, but she's been a widow for a long time. And she dedicated herself where? To fasting and prayers night and day in the temple of Elohim. And she coming in the instant gave thanks likewise unto Yah and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of Yah, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Okay, so here's a woman who is, she is at the temple and she's serving at the temple day and night. And she's before people in prayer and fasting. And so this is part of her service to the Most High. But she's also a what?
Prophetess.
A prophetess. And see, brothers don't want to hear any woman speak anything like the Most High can't speak to them. But the Most High speaks to women just like he does men. And the prophetess also has to be in the same realm and with the same responsibilities as a prophet. She can only say what the Most High says, tells her to say. And if she says anything that is not true, then you're supposed to disregard her as well. But as long as she is in that role, when she speak, you better act as though and believe it as though it's the Most High himself speaking. And this has always been a problem in Israel. When the prophets would speak to them, like when Jonah went to Nineveh, did they question Jonah? Did they talk back to him?
No.
They just heard and did. Knew that they ought to, hey, we got to get right with the Most High. We have sinned. And they repented. But today, people want to argue and want to question whether you're a man of the Most High or whether you're a woman of the Most High, whether the Most High talks to you at all. Because our people really have no faith. But she's doing what she's supposed to do. She's a widow. She's past the age of 66. And she is serving in the temple. She's not doing any of the priestly jobs, but she's there, what, fasting and praying for people. Fasting and praying before the Most High. All right. Go to the book of Matthew. Chapter 4. The book of Matthew, chapter 4. And let's get verses 1 and 2. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 All right, amen. Then was Yeshua led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, now the devil came to him after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Now he's what, hungry? And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command these stones be made bread. You hungry? So Messiah is in the wilderness, and he is actually led by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. He's led into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted. But he wasn't tempted until after what, 40 days? Then the devil came. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards what? A hungered or hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command these stones be made of bread. So when we see the Most High, when he's about to actually bring you into a higher ministry, he will actually do this as well. Send you on a long fast to be sanctified, to weaken the flesh, so that you can strengthen the spirit. Because, see, we give in to this flesh all the time. And everything that we do just about is to please this flesh, whether it's hunger, whether it's thirst, whether it is the lust of our eyes, something we want, whether it's the pride of life, something that, you know, we want to achieve. That's why if we just remember those verses, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These three are not of the Father. Because the Father is spiritual. And so anytime that he wants to deal with us, he's going to weaken this flesh. So Messiah is gone into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights to weaken the flesh. And after he's weak and he's hungry now, then Satan comes to tempt him. What does Messiah say about fasting? Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Look and see what Messiah says about fasting. Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to get verses 14 through 21. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Master, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. That means that he's got, you know, he's being attacked very badly. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Yeshua answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Yeshua rebuked the devil and departed out of him. And he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came his disciples to Yeshua apart. They came, you know, after this was over. They said, why could we not cast him out? And Yeshua said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. Remove from here and go over there. And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out, not out, but by prayer and what?
Fasting.
So this was one of those devils that had a hold on this person. And if you are weak and suffer from unbelief, then you won't be able to cast it out. Because it will be saying things to you that will make you doubt your own salvation. That will be cursing you out and saying stuff to you. May even say some stuff to you that they shouldn't even know. But because of their unbelief, they couldn't cast this demon out. And that's what I was saying to you, my sister, the other day. This is our job. But we got to believe it. And so if there's anybody in our family that is, spirit-possessed, we run into an unclean spirit, then know that you have authority over it. But you got to first find out, did that person invite that spirit? Or were they, you know, did they invite it in? Because there are some people who want to be possessed. And they want to be dark. And as long as they want to be, if they don't want to be delivered, you can't deliver them. Because that spirit is there, not illegally, because they have given it permission to be there. But if they were taken captive, then you can cast that spirit out because it's in the earth illegally. And sometimes they're so strong that, yeah, you may have to be prayed up and what, fast up as well. In other words, you don't deal with a spirit being with your flesh. That's why you have to weaken the flesh and strengthen what? The spirit man. All right. So we have to strengthen the spirit man through fasting and prayer. Should married couples engage in sexual intimacies during periods of fasting? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to get verses 3 through 5. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud you not one another. Don't stay away from each other sexually, intimately, except it be with consent, you agree, for a time, that you give yourselves to what? Am I reading alone?
Yes, I am.
All right, so that you give yourselves to fasting and what? Prayer.
Prayer.
And come again, and come together again after that time, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So, husband and wife should abstain from being intimate for an agreed amount of time. For fasting and prayers. Because you are supposed to be clean during that time. You are up under a vow. And so if you come together intimately in the middle of this fast, you are now unclean. So we have to understand that. All the married couples. Okay. If you go on a fast when it's completed, do not overeat. Because, you know, when you go a long time without food, your stomach is not used to having food on it. And it draws up as well. So if you're going to do a long fast, even, you know, long can be relative to the person. If you're not used to fasting, a one-day or a three-day fast can be a long time. 7 days, even longer. If you're doing a 40-day fast, then, you know, you're doing one of those fasts that the Most High called for when he is calling somebody into ministry, when he is going to purge a person. But he don't call everybody to 40-day fast, believe me. But when you come off of that fast and you want to eat a little bit of vegetable soup or some broth, nothing heavy, and some water, or some herbal tea, should hold you until the following day. So you eat a little bit that first day, You know, you don't go try to eat a 7-course meal. And the following day, you may resume your normal eating habits. However, it is hoped that these normal eating habits include eating clean and not overeating. Yah's people are commanded to be temperate in all things. So just because you came off a 7-day fast, I mean, you want to sit down and be a glutton. So I'm going to have me a 13-course meal. And I'm going to eat until I just can't eat no more. Now let's look at real quick. Well, I'm going to read this, okay, because this is something that we've read this before, but part of fasting, I want to make sure that we get the fast that Yah commands, okay? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And this also should also tell us what mindset we should be in when we come before Yah. Isaiah chapter 58, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and read. This is the fast that Yah commands. Now, we know about the Day of Atonement. But there's a certain mindset, and there's a certain thing that he wants us to really fast from. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. So the people are not in a good place. They are transgressing against the Most High, and they are what? In sin. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness. Show them their transgression, but they're acting like they're what? Like they're righteous.
Right.
And forsook not the ordinances of their Elohim. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and that they take delight in approaching to Yah. We seek Yah as though we delight to know his ways, as a nation that delighted not. Although we were unrighteous, this is our forefathers, they sought the Most High like they were a righteous nation and like they had a right to approach him. When we are in sin, we have no right really to approach the Most High. And especially asking him, you know, for his guidance and his protection. He said, don't you know when you are in sin, I am against you? And you approaching me like you got a right to come and ask me anything? So we got to listen to what he's saying to Israel. Because, you know, people will do all kind of sin, all kind of unrighteousness, and then think that they can go before the Most High. Wherefore, why have we fasted, say they? And thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. So this ain't no special day to you. You saying you're on a fast, but you're still doing everything that you do any other day.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say when you're on a fast, you're on a vow. You have to, you know, in for the Day of Atonement, you can't even go to work. But we're really not supposed to even work when we're on a fast for the Most High. Because we're not supposed to find pleasure. We're not supposed to exact our labors. So we can't just fast. You know we got to work during the week, but we're going to go on a fast during the week. No, then you can't really keep that fast. Not the way the Most High wants it. Verse 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. You there, you asking, you know, you fasting for the and trying to go before the Most High. He says, but you're not fasting for the right reasons. and you fast, you're coming to me like you're coming to me like you're righteous, but you're in your dirt. He said, you shall not come before me that way. You shall not fast as you do this day. Verse 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast? Will you call this a fast? This is Most High asking these questions. And an acceptable day to Yah? Yah's simple question is, what have I asked for? Did I ask you to do all these things? It is not this the fast that I have chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness, is not this the fast that I have asked for? For you to loose the bands of wickedness. Stop being wicked. To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. This is the fast that Yah wants. Stop being wicked. Lift the burden off of somebody. Verse 7. Is not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? That thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou covers him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? So we're supposed to fast from doing, not feeding the hungry, from not taking care of the homeless. Stop not taking care of the homeless. Stop not feeding the hungry. He's saying, this is what I want you to stop doing. Take a break from not doing righteousness. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yah shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and Yah shall answer. When we do it the way he wants, and when we do it for what he wants, thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. Take off that heavy burden off of somebody. Stop pointing fingers at other people. See what they're doing? See how evil they are? See the wickedness that they do? Most I says, I see them. But don't let that be your modus operandi. That's all you do. And speaking vanity. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. So if we pour out our soul to these people, to the needy, to the hungry, and satisfy their affliction, then shall there be no darkness within us. He said, hey, I'm going to shine within you. And Yah shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a soaring, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. We just won't ever be afflicted like this. We won't ever be in need. He says our souls will be fat and our bones will be fat. Fatness stands for wellness, stands for doing well, prospering. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths that to dwell in. Now, he's saying take care of the needy. He says, if we do this, then we will be the repairers of the breach. We will be the ones that restore the kingdom, because this is who he wants to restore the kingdom to. And when we read in Zechariah and in Zephaniah, we'll find out that if you are well off and you are not broken in spirit, you won't enter into his kingdom. You won't get the promised land. It's only those people who are poor in spirit, contrite in heart, not the puffed up. Verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath and from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and this is where, you know, the verses I always take my wife and kids to, because, and this is where we should have our understanding of what we should be doing on the Sabbath and how we should honor it. Because let's say it this way. Let's read the scripture and then let's say it how the Most High says it. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Don't be keeping a Sabbath, and it's a burden to you. He says you got to call the Sabbath a what? A delight. The holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways. Remember I told you, he don't want you doing your own thing, especially on his day. Nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So we got to keep the Sabbath. We got to honor him in it. Okay? Let's read this verse again, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. He says, take a fast from this, from breaking the Sabbath. And call the Sabbath a delight. Don't let the, you know, take a break from the Sabbath being a burden to you. Holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him. When you keep his Sabbath and keep staying up focused on him, you honor him. That means that if you don't do it, you dishonor him. Whenever we don't keep his Sabbath, we dishonor him. Then shalt thou delight thyself in Yah, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yah has spoken it. So we are supposed to take a fast. This is the fast the Most High has called for, that we stop breaking his Shabbat. Take a fast from breaking my Sabbath. Take a fast from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Take a fast from speaking your own words. Take a break and do the right thing on the Shabbat. Feed the hungry. Clothe the poor, the naked. Take in somebody homeless. This is what he desires of us, what he wants of us. Let's go to Zechariah, chapter 8. And we'll run a few minutes over for everybody listening. We're going to run a few minutes over. Again, Zechariah, chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 All right. Yes. Zechariah chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And again, the word of Yah of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith Yah of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith Yah, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of Yah of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith Yah of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith Yah of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people, in these days shall it also be marvelous in my eyes. Shall it also be marvelous in my eyes, saith Yah of hosts. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith Yahweh, let your hands be strong, yea, that hear in these days these words of the by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of Yah of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For behold, these days there was no hire for man, no hire for beast, neither was there any peace in him to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith Yah of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give her their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and O house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith Yahweh, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith Yahweh, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear you not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak you every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith Yah. And the word of Yah of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith Yah of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, that's in Jeremiah 52 and 6 and 7, and the fast of the fifth month, you can read about that in Jeremiah 52, 12 through 14, and the fast of the seventh month, because we never talk about these fasts, but we need to be fasting in these months as a body, and so this is something that I will look at that we will institute. And the fast of the tenth month shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feast thereof, therefore love and truth and peace. These fasts are all represented times when we were being punished for our wickedness, oppressed, hungry, and taken away captive. It seems these things were done to teach us a lesson, the fast that Yah called for from us in Isaiah 58. So when we read about these other fasts in Jeremiah of the fifth month, of the fourth, fifth, seventh month, and the tenth month, we called these because we were in our captivity and we were being oppressed and so forth. Thus saith Yah, it shall come to pass, verse 20, that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily and pray before Yah to seek Yah of hosts, and I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek Yah of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before Yah. Thus saith Yah of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages or all the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Yah is with you. When we keep the fast of the Most High, and when we do it righteously, and when we aren't attacking each other, then Yah says that he will be with us. And just like we keep the new moon, just like we blow the trumpet, I will find out the day that the fast of the fourth month, the tenth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, I'll find out what days those fasts were held on, and we need to start incorporating them. as a body in remembrance of, you know, why are people fasting in those days and what went on so that we can fast today in those same times for our own reasons. And they be corporate fasts and be, you know, fasts that we plan on. So let us bow our heads. Father, we come before you right now, praying thy will, that every man doesn't do that which is right in his own eyes, but that we do what you have called us to do, Father, that we keep your fast, that we feed the hungry, that we clothe the naked, that we take care of the fatherless and the widow, that we take a fast from doing wickedness, Father, that we keep your Sabbath and we take a fast from breaking your Shabbat, but that we honor you in it. And we look forward, Father, to the day that you restore us to our own land. And until that day, Father, we will worship and honor you in the lands wherever we are at, and we will be faithful to you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On Thursday, we will have the business meeting. And we will, you know, do the bylaws, and then we will also discuss current status of, you know, the land and the crop growing and that kind of stuff. So I pray that all of you be well, that Yah richly blesses you, that you focus on getting into the kingdom, focus on staying in the kingdom, focus on doing the work of the kingdom, that we do the things in Isaiah 58 that the Most High has commanded that we do. That we come together and we feed the homeless, we clothe the naked, that we keep it Shabbat, take care of the father, the widow, and the homeless. With that being said, I love you. You know I do. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Shalom, brother.
Thank you very much. I'll take all the love I can get. Every bit of it.
I know that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Peace and blessings. See you all Thursday.
Okay.
Sometimes all I want bent my head up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall.